You said YES to buying an HDB flat together. Now, there's another three letters to take note of.
ILY?
I know, BTO.
No, HFE. You need a valid HDB flat eligibility letter. If you're applying for your BTO flat, it takes about a month to process your HFE application. So, if you haven't gotten an HFE letter, apply at homes.hdb.gov.sg. That's homes.hdb.gov.sg.
It's Gold 905. Sounds good. Feels good. It is a brand new year, 2020. And we have all sorts of delicious things lined up for you, including a brand new foodie friend. He's got a fairly new book out. It's called The Way of Kuih. Author, chef Christopher Tan. Welcome.
Hi, Denise. Thank you.
So you have followed in the way of kuih and come up with your own kind of like a cookbook, but also historical account of sweet things, right?
Yes, that's right. Just an exploration of Singapore's traditional kuih.
Okay, so tell us a little bit more about how did you come to write this book? Why kuih?
It has been a long journey. This is my 12th or 13th cookbook.
Yes.
I've been a food writer for over a decade. I've been teaching cooking for around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I do some voluntary work for Slow Food Singapore, which is the local branch of the International Slow Food Movement, whose mission it is to preserve and celebrate traditional food culture from the farm upwards. So ever since 2015, we've organized an annual event called the Kuih Appreciation Day, where our local small family heritage kuih businesses come together under one roof and sell kuih. Regrettably, there's fewer and fewer. There's still several, but it seems like every year another one retires or closes down. We just lost Glory this year, for instance. They still remain as a catering firm.
Yes.
But they've actually closed their outlet at Katong that, you know, sold popiah and all the kuih out front. So they actually
Is breaking.
Tragic, you know. Yeah, so every year we're seeing more and more retire. It's always tricky to keep heritage food alive in everyone's attention and imagination.
And I guess this is kind of one of the reasons why you decided to write a book dedicated to one of these heritage things.
Absolutely. At these kuih appreciation days that we organized, which were non-profit events, you know, I could see the way the public came and queued up for kuih and were asking questions and were getting interested. That gave me insight into how people nowadays relate to kuih and also what it means to them. Like, we had some Hainanese ladies from the Hui Kwan come and give Hainanese kuih making demonstrations. And a lot of the people who came were young Hainanese wanting to get in touch with their roots. You know, so there's hope there. You know, there are so many cupcake shops and sourdough shops and macaron shops opening, and at the same time, our kuih stores are closing down.
Yeah.
So something needs to be done to redress the balance.
I always thought kuih is Peranakan or Malay.
Mm-hmm.
Your definition of kuih is the desserts of this region,
They can be sweet, they can be savory. But one of the big points I was making in the book was that kuih belongs to everyone. It's a Singaporean thing. All communities enjoy it. So the book's recipes cover Malay, Chinese, Peranakan, Eurasian kuih.
Wow.
Okay. The word kuih itself comes from a Fujian dialect originally. And it shows you for how many centuries Southern Chinese have been journeying and settling in this region that the word kuih has become adopted into other regional languages as a proper noun.
Yeah. And another thing, I sound like a complete plebeian when I say it, but I thought kuih was sweet, but there are also savory kuihs.
Kuih pai tea, chai tau kuih.
Oh yeah.
Chui kuih.
So these all make it into your book.
Yes. I basically did a survey of all the different kuihs that are available and some which aren't, you know. I have some recipes for a couple of kuih which are severely endangered, if not extinct.
Right.
So I went through all of them and I picked out about around 100 classic kuih that everyone would be familiar with. So there's a small subset of kuihs which are known to all Singaporeans. Things like onde onde, like angku kuih.
Yes.
You know, kuih lapis and all that kind of thing. But each community has its own very specific kuihs which they make for festivals and special occasions. So wajik, for instance, is a very, very iconic Malay kuih, and they make it for weddings. It's glutinous rice that's been cooked down with palm sugar and coconut cream until the whole thing becomes sticky and then it's cut into diamond-shaped pieces.
Yes.
Wajik means diamond. And that is made for weddings because the stickiness and the sweetness of the rice imply unity and sweetness for the new couple.
Spoken like a true expert. If I do you a test, right? I just open your book and flip to a certain page and go, apum balik durian. Go.
Yes, so that's a Nonya kuih. So apom is interesting. The word apom comes
from... I can't believe you're really humouring me.
The word apom comes from South India originally. But again, another legacy of you know, how much cultural interchange there has been around our region.
Yes.
Apom has been incorporated into our local languages as apam, apom. You know, even in southern Thailand, they have arpom. And apom balik durian is also well known in Malacca. It's like a little durian pancake that is cooked and then folded in half to serve.
He knows his stuff. So, you know, Christopher, just looking at the cover of your very beautiful book, The Way of Kue. This kue is not a kue that would immediately come to my mind. I mean, I love this. I don't actually know what it's called. It looks like a flower and it looks deep fried.
Yes, so that's kue rose, also known as achapam, Tamil, or achumuruku.
Right.
In Malay, it's called kue loyang, kue goyang, because you have to shake the mold when you deep fry it so the kue slips off into the oil.
So interesting, because there are more than 100 different kues that you have mentioned in the book. How on earth did you even decide, okay, this is the kue I'm going to feature on the cover?
Firstly, it's really pretty.
Yeah, it is.
secondly, it is such an old kue. It is made in many forms around the globe. No one is entirely sure where it came from. But it is so old that it has become an accepted traditional dessert or kue or fritter. So it's made in Turkey. It's made in Iran. It's made in Pakistan. It's made in Scandinavia, where it's called rosette cookies, okay? It's made in Sri Lanka. It's made in India. It's made in the US by Scandinavians who went to settle in the US and still make it. And it's made in Vietnam and Thailand. And of course, it's made here and in Indonesia and Malaysia. So it's really a worldwide kue. So I wanted something that spoke to a lot of people to be on the cover. That's why I picked it. And actually, the book has two different covers.
Oh.
So the second
cover... Collect them all now.
So the second cover is actually the steamed kue lapis, so that people have a choice.
Yeah.
I don't call it rainbow because 4 to 7 different colors that actually look like a real rainbow is entirely modern.
Oh.
Traditionally, it has 2 or 3 colors only.
Oh, really?
Yes. So the second cover of the book, it has red, green and white layers.
So do you know so far which is more popular?
Actually, it's kind of neck and neck.
Well, there you go. Then you chose obviously very well indeed.
So this book took 4 years to research, maybe. Then the last 2 years, I've been intensely working on it. And in that time, I did all the photos, I wrote all the text, I created and tested all the recipes. So it's like a really one-man show.
My goodness, is there anything you can't do? So literally from start to finish, this was your labor of love.
Yes, everything was photographed like by a window in my kitchen.
My goodness, but it turned out really, really well.
I think that if you really are passionate about a subject, it will come through in the art that you make around it.
Nice. Okay, so once again, it is The Way of Kue. Get it now at all good bookstores. It's by Christopher Tan. He is a best-selling author of cookbooks and he's also an educator, right? You teach classes.
I teach cooking, yes.
And
so ever since I started going on Instagram, people have been like asking me for free food. but I'm not a caterer. But I do teach cooking almost every Saturday at a small cooking school called the Kitchen Society.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And you may see me pop up here and there at individual one-off events.
Check him out on Instagram at The Way of Kue. We'll be back in just a little bit. Of course, we'll find out more about The Way of Kue. And as always, with our foodie friends, Christopher, we are going to rely on you for some lovely places to go visit.
Aye, aye.
Okay, we'll be back in just a bit.